Good morning, everybody. Today I want to talk about victory starts here. Victory starts here. Now, how many of us went to short-term missions? Oh, okay, very good. Now that you're back, right, that must be the highlight of your summer so far. But now you're back, what are you going to set out to do from now on? Now, my summer has been quite busy because Lucy and I were building a house in Summit, in the town of Summit, and it's really a grind, so to speak. It takes a long time, and there are good things, and there are unforeseen setbacks, so it really takes a lot of patience. So my summer has been preoccupied every day, going to the house, seeing what's being done. But one of the highlights so far for my summer has been my trip to Fort Jackson, South Carolina. Now, you might think that America is really a technologically very advanced country, right? But you know that if you go 100 miles away from any metropolis, you go 100 miles from New York City, go down to South Jersey, you just see what kind of country you are. Kind of backward, all right? So in order to get to Fort Jackson, which is right outside of Columbia, South Carolina, it's a big town, big city, I had to go through Washington, D.C. airport. I flew on a small plane that you cannot stand up straight, like maybe 40 people. Bumpy, all right, landed there, and it's, Dulles International Airport, but you didn't know that there's a small section of it is like still in the 60s, like Quonset huts, like one floor, and all these small commuter jets, commuter planes, propeller, whatever, that you don't get on, you get off by stepping off onto the runway and then walking inside. So I changed planes there and flew into Columbia, South Carolina, a new airport, but when we landed, there was only one plane, our plane. That seats maybe 50 people. The whole airport, I can only see one plane. And that's kind of scary. That's the world we live in. We only see what's around us unless you go out and you see more, right? And I'm sure that you experienced a lot in Taiwan and China when you go on short-term missions. But I went down to Fort Jackson because I have a student who graduated from Binghamton. And all of a sudden, she decided she wants to enlist in the Army. Out of the blue, she was studying geology, and she's a very gentle person. She has a very gentle spirit. I never saw her wanting to be in the Army. But she decided to enlist. So she went down to Fort Jackson for a boot camp. Okay, so she was in the 2nd Battalion, 13th Regiment, C Company. The name of her company is Grave Diggers. So she asked me time and time again to go down for her graduation from boot camp, which is in a basic combat training, becoming a soldier. So I said, all right, Lucy, I said, she's asked me so many times, she's a good girl, I'll go. So I went down there. And it was a nice summer day, gentle breeze. And as I drove onto the base, I was getting excited because I was going to see, real soldiers, right? So the ceremony turned out to be a very simple one. The new soldiers, there are about 700 of them, came out in formation, and then they come to the center of the field, and they stood in attention. Then the commander gave a very short speech, maybe 5 minutes. That says a lot about sermons that are like an hour and a half long, right? He gave a 5-minute talk, and that was very good. And then afterwards, the soldiers just like marched around in formation in front of the review stands, and that was it. 40 minutes, graduation ceremony. And I had a great time. Okay? Now, the major general, the commander, in a speech, 5 minutes, he had like 3 to 4 themes. The first thing, being a soldier is not just a career choice, it's a life choice. Being a soldier is not just a career choice, but a life choice. There are duties for the soldier, but together with duties, along with duties, come privileges for a soldier. And the last one, the soldiers, you have become what you set out to be. You have become what you set out to be. Now that you've come back from short-term mission, what are you going to set out to be? The motto of the base, Fort Jackson Army Base, is victory starts here. Victory starts here. Victory starts at home, where you're trained as a soldier, where you're born as a soldier. Victory starts here. Victory starts with you. You. Victory starts here. Now, the first thing he said, right? Being a soldier is not a career choice, but a life choice. Now, we have many choices every day. We choose what to eat. You know, I got yelled at by my doctor last time I went. I gained like 12 pounds because I moved. I'm not a fat person, right? But still, you know, 10 pounds. So my cholesterol is bad. My blood glucose is bad. Everything is bad. So I was already on 4 medications, and my doctor wanted to add 2 more. I said, no, doctor, thank you very much. I said, give me 1 month. I'll be good, and I'll retest, right? But you know, after you retest, you're going to go back to bed again, right? Until you're going to get a blood test in a week. So, oh, I better fast for the whole week. Anyways, they're not, you know, what to eat, whether you want to hang out with your friends, what you're going to do, whether you want to do homework or not. Those are easy choices. Now, there are more important choices. When you are older, when you go to college, then you say, well, what am I going to major in? A lot of us has no clue. We don't know what we're going to major in. But eventually, you have to choose one, right? And there are other choices that are important, like boyfriend, girlfriend. Who is going to be your girlfriend? Who is going to be your boyfriend? Those are important choices. Husband and wife, right? You choose to get married, husband, wife. Now, those are life choices. But, you know, there are not too many of them. Well, we have choices that are important, like life and death. Like, I'm heading up back out to Chinatown. If Holland Tunnel is busy, I might decide to go up to Lincoln Tunnel, and if I got in an accident, life and death. Those are choices we make every day. But there are very, very few life choices. That is a choice that changed our life. And we can't even say husband and wife is life choice, because life choice means when you marry to somebody, you have to change yourself. You have to adapt to the other person to make the marriage work. You can't just say, well, this is how I am. I'm not going to change. When you get married, right, the wife changes, the husband changes, then they become one unit. But these days, we can't say that anymore as a life choice, because half the marriage ended in divorce. But deciding to accept Christ is a life choice, because you're going to change your way of life. You have to change your way of life after you have accepted Christ. So it's a life choice. Now, about in Matthew, it says, right, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot serve God and the world. You cannot serve God and sin. Either or. That's why once we accepted Christ, it is a life-changing choice. It is a life choice. For the rest of our life, we change. We change. God and the world. It's either or. It's either or. I have a basketball team. So we try to enter in this tournament in the summertime. that we're in the thick of right now. But there are requirements. This year they require 6 Christians and 6 non-Christians on the team. You cannot have more non-Christians than Christians. So each year, this time back in May, I have to ask the students, are you a Christian? It's a tough job when you have to ask them. But it's good. It's a challenge to them, right? Put them on the spot. Are you a Christian or a non-Christian? And our team has been together 4 years, and quite a number of them have become Christians. And this one person, he is now a college student. Years passed, I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, no. Okay, then I put you, it's no big deal, I put you in a non-Christian, you know, side of the roster. So this time I asked him, I said, are you a Christian? He said, well, he says, 51%. Well, that's better than years past, because years past he told me no, right? Professor Luke would say, 51% is still with the majority. You can win elections with 51% of the vote. I said, you know, you can't be 51%. He said, yeah. He said, we can't cheat, right? We have to be honest, right? I said, of course you have to be honest, you know, whether you're a Christian or not. I said, I'll give you 2 weeks to think. 2 weeks later, I asked him, I said, no, I got to fill out the roster. I said, if you're a Christian, then I can invite another non-Christian, right? But if you're a non-Christian, I can't. I said, well, he said, I'm still like 51%. I said, okay, you got to decide. I'll give you one more week. So the next week I asked him, he said, well, Felix, I guess I'm a Christian because, like, I read the Bible sometimes, I pray to God sometimes, and I ask my friends, I'm a Christian. Either you're a Christian or you're a non-Christian. There's no in-between. There's no in-between, right? The passage we read in Romans, it might not hit you, but if you read, it says, when you were slaves to sin, those things result in death. But now you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness. Anything hits you there? It hit me. Let me repeat. When you were slaves to sin, these things result in death. Now you've been set free from sin, have become slaves of God. Now, ever anybody tell you that you're slaves of God? We're always taught to be, oh, God loves us. We're His children. We're His chosen. But here is in the Bible, Romans, we're slaves of God. Now, slaves of sin, we can understand, because the chapter following, Paul said, right? He said, I do not understand what I do. For the things I want to do, I do not do. Young people, we all have that, you know, experience, right? Things I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. It applies to all of us. Parents, myself, things we want to do, we do not do, but things I hate, I do. I had a good will to do what is good, but I can't do it. You know, because you go to sleep, right? But here it is, you're talking with your friends. You can't. You can't stop. You keep talking. You know, time is late. You got to go to school tomorrow, but you keep talking, right? Husband, wives, parents. We started screaming at our kids. We know we shouldn't scream at them, but we do it anyways because we're angry. We want to let it out. Husband and wife, really, a lot of times, yeah, I just want to say it because, you know, this time I'm not going to keep quiet. And you get in an argument. You guys talk back to your parents, right? Everybody does. I've seen so many. No matter how old you are, talk back to your parents. Well, you know you shouldn't, but you do it anyways. So, slaves to sin, we can understand. But slaves of God, what is that? Slaves of God. What is that? We never think of those terms. Victory starts here. Victory starts here means the soldier has first to make a choice to be a soldier, to make this a life choice. And Christians, we make a choice to accept Christ, and it is also a life choice. It's the first step. The decision is only the first step. It's a life-changing choice. But you know what? Life-changing, either or, right? Either with sin or even with God. From slaves to sin to slaves of God. It's a life-saving choice. Not only a life-changing choice, but it's a life-saving choice. Because it leads to eternal life. The irony is, for us to win, for us to be victorious, we have to lose the first battle. Victory starts here, meaning that we have to lose our first battle. And become slaves of God. Become slaves of God. Who's the boss? I'm my own boss. I'm my own person. I'm old enough. I can decide. I know what's best for me. I'll do what I want to do. Well, you've got to lose the first battle. You have to become slaves of God in order to win, in order to be victorious. As I said, so many parents had differences in opinion with the children. In Chinatown, one mother came to me and said, "Oh, Felix, my daughter has to take the region exam. You know, in New York State, you have to pass all the regions, you know, math, English, in order to graduate from high school." And I tell you, the test is not hard at all. Okay. She says, "Well, my daughter, now it's like a week before the test. She comes to me, and she wants me to buy 4 books, reference books." She says, "I went to one Barnes & Noble, it's sold out. I went to another Barnes & Noble, I can only get 3. I said, "Of course, it's the week before. You know, it all sold out." She says, "Well, I brought them home, and my daughter is upset because I couldn't get all the books for her. But she threw it aside. She didn't even read it anyways." Mother wants the daughter to study. She's been pushing her, probably, to get books. And so eventually, the daughter gave in and said, "All right, get these books." But it was too late. The daughter is saying that, "It's my own exam. It's under control. Don't worry about it. I'm fine." Who's the boss? Is the mother the boss or the daughter the boss? So a week ago, the mother came to me again. "See, this is the result. She only got an 85. I said to myself, "Well, 85 is not bad, right? You know, 75 you pass. 85, that's better than 75. And the mother said, "Well, she should get a 95. And the daughter, setting aside, says, "You know, Professor Luke is looking at me. He says, "Nobody deserves a 95, right? Nobody's perfect." The daughter is standing next to her and saying, like, her expression was like, "What do you expect me to do? I got an 85. Who's the boss? Who's the boss? As I told you, I'm building a home, right? So I'm renting right now. I'm living right next to a family, a brother, sisters from church. They had a fourth grader and a sixth grader at home. And the reason I gained weight was because I got invited over there to a dinner a lot of times. Good food. Every meal, I'm telling you, every single time when we're done with food, eating, the kids come over. "Can I watch TV now?" And the parents would say, 15 minutes reading. Every time, 15 minutes reading. And, why can't I watch TV now? Every time it's like that, right? So if the kids know that they're supposed to read, why do they keep asking? They know the parents are going to say 15 minutes, so they may as well just read the 15 minutes, and right? Who's the boss? And to me, the 15 minutes doesn't mean anything anyways, because the child is just going to sit there and stare at the book, and he's not reading. He just, every minute, he's going to look up in the clock and say, is it 15 minutes? And 7 minutes, really, 7 minutes go by, and he'll come over, and Is it time yet? And the father will say, no, 8 more minutes. He's looking at the clock. He knows it's not 15 minutes. But you know why? Because there's a fight, right? Fight for the ownership. Fight for the ownership. But for us Christians, you have to lose the first battle. You have to give up ownership. You have to give up ownership of yourself to God. Victory starts here. You have to lose the first battle. You cannot hold on to yourself. You know, the fact is, if you say, I'm my own boss, the fact is, you're never your own boss. Either you are slaves to sin, or you're slave of God. We are never our own boss. I have another student who went off to the Navy. I might have told you before this. When he signed up last September, he went to boot camp, the Navy boot camp, and I said, what are you supposed to bring? He said, $40. $40. And a satchel of clothes. That's it. Nothing else. What can you put in a bag? That's all he's allowed to bring. No phones, no laptops, no computer for, I think, 2 months. See, once a soldier signed up, right, he is going to give up ownership of his life to his commander. And isn't God our commander? Isn't Jesus our commander? That you have chosen to become a Christian, then the first thing you do is you give up ownership of yourself. In 2 Timothy, it says, right, no one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. We're supposed to please our commanding officer, our God. So, either you're slaves to sin, or you are slaves of God. And you're slaves of God, then you please Him. And this is part of what we set out to do, right? To please God. After we have believed in Him. So, remember, victory starts here means losing the first battle. It's ironic, but we have to lose in order to win. Now, a soldier has many duties, right? As I said, so please the commanding officer. The girl that graduated from boot camp, I asked her like a week before graduation, you know where you're going? She says, no. When I flew down to Fort Jackson and met her, I said, you know where you're going? She said, yeah, I found out yesterday where I was going. I was going to be in Virginia for 3 months. So that's where she is now. See, a soldier follows the duty, follows the order, without question. She can say, no, I don't want to go to Virginia. I want to go home. She can't say that. If she got the orders to go to Virginia for 3 months for further training, she has to go. Matthew 8 told of the faith of a centurion, the centurion, that his servant was paralyzed and was in bad shape and terrible suffering at home. So he went to Jesus and said, please heal him. And Jesus was going to say, okay, I'll come, right? But he said, no, there's no need for you to come under my roof. Just say the word. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. We all remember that. But within that story, the centurion also said this. He said, I had soldiers under me. I have soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes. I tell that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. Victory starts here. We have to do what God wants us to do. We have to become slaves of God. Maybe that hasn't been emphasized in the sermons. God loves us. We're His children. We're His chosen. But we are also slaves of God. And we're to do what He wants us to do. Now, that's very difficult. I mean, how are you going to do what God wants us to do? If you have decided to keep control yourself, then you have certain things you want to do and certain things you don't want to do. But if that doesn't mesh with what God wants us to do, that's very difficult. You wouldn't follow His command. However, if we give up ownership of our own life to Him, and what He wants us to do is exactly what we want to do, then there's a match, right? There's a match. If what we want to do is exactly what He wants us to do, we automatically follow His command. And that's not a hard thing to do, right? That's not a hard thing to do. The duty is to follow Him, is to please Him, is to obey His commands. But the nice thing is that we're in His goodness. You know, I can't tell you my relationship between myself and God, and sometimes it may be a little bit abstract, but I can tell you my relationship with my cat, right? A lot of you know that I have a stray cat. He's been with me 2 years now. 2 years. We're going to have a birthday party for him so that I can get some gifts for myself. He came end of August, okay, 2 years ago. Now, he doesn't follow Lucy around for some reason. Lucy always complains. I'm so good to him, and like he never acknowledged me. If I wake up, the cat ran over from downstairs and meow, 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 meow. When Lucy gets up, the cat just sits over there and ignores Lucy. So Lucy doesn't like it that much. But Lucy says that this is the only cat I love in the whole world. So Lucy would give him the nip-nip, little snacks, right? So, and when she gives him the nip-nip, he would just, you know, rub against her feet and all that. For me, if I'm in this room, he is over there sleeping in the bed. If I'm downstairs watching TV, long table, he jumps up on the table and plops himself, you know, on the table. Where I am, he is. I would stroke him a little bit, and he might be, you know, I'm on the computer, right? And sometimes he jumped up and lay right in front of the monitor so I can work and I can pet him at the same time. That's how it is. You know, you and God is the same way. You love to be in His presence. He loves to be able to pet you. He loves to be able to pet you, right? And sometimes I'm working and I'm like a third floor, so he would just lay on the windowsill, stretch out like a sausage. Now work, and now pet him a little bit, okay? And God is good. God is good. God wants to give His good things to us. I told you about my move, right? My move is, we were kind of naive. We thought like 6 months would be plenty to buy a house, to go through the zoning, to build the house. 6 months. So we rented the first place for 6 months, thinking that's good enough. But God knew better, because it's a long time dealing with the zoning board and the builder and all these setbacks. So about 4 months into the first rental, the landlord decided he wants to sell the house. So we were kind of forced to make another move. Now we're living in Madison, New Jersey, renting a second place. And our rent is up to the end of September. To me, that's the perfect timing. Because at first, the builder said we could move in next week. The house doesn't have any walls yet. It's just the outside framing. Okay, it's going to take him another 2 months. So God knows the best, the timing, that I think that September, mid-September, is when everything is done, we can move back. The third theme, the major general reminded soldier, you have become what you set out to be. What have you set out to be? Those that didn't go to the short-term missions, those who went to the short-term missions, what have you set out to be? My basketball team, I have a big game this afternoon, so I have to leave afterward. It's been 4 years. And we've come a long way. Because 4 years ago, when I first took over, we had a practice at 2 o'clock, 2:30, there may be three players. And I call everybody, and they said, oh, we're coming, we're coming. So by 3 o'clock, I have maybe 80% of the players there. We've come a long way. They have gotten almost 95% of them are on time. As a team, we're also playing better. In the first season, we lost all the games. We were in this summer church league in Chinatown. Lost all the games. The second year, I think we won 2 games. Okay? Last year, we didn't, for whatever reason, we were not allowed to play. And this year, we're in there. Right now, we're 2-1. 2-1. We won 2 games. We lost the first game by 3 points. We won the second game by 12 points, the third game by 10 points. So we have another game today. What did we set out to do as a basketball team? We set out to be, have fun. We just want to have fun. We just want to have fellowship so that they can get to know Christ, right? Those were our goals. We weren't set out to win games. We just want to have fun and improve as players. But now that we're in 2 games, right? And we have another game today, what am I going to set out to be as a coach for the team? We want them to win more now, right? That is, you need to set goals. But the goal needs to be revised from time to time. You might have one set of goals before you went to short-term missions, right? Now that you come back, you need to look at your goals and see if there's something you need to do. What we set out to be, it's important. On Facebook, I saw someone that I know, use an acronym that has an alphabet, F, in it. So I went to his brother. I said, hey, I said, he's using that on his Facebook. The brother said, yeah, you know, they're all doing that these days. So 3 weeks after that, I met the student. Well, he's no longer a student. He's working now. I met him and said, oh, Felix, he said, you know, I'm sorry for using that term. He said, you know, these days, you don't even think about it. Because so many people use those acronyms, you just automatically use it without knowing what the word, the alphabet stands for. That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. Yesterday, I just saw the sad news. Campus Crusade for Christ, a Christian student organization that we are very, you know, my age group is very familiar with. Campus Crusade for Christ has changed its name. There's no longer the word Christ in the name. They're from now on known as CRU. It's very sad. So what are you going to set out to be? The soldiers, they have become what they set out to be. Because they set out to be soldiers, now they're graduating from boot camp, they have become what we set out to be. Go back. When we accepted Christ, when we made the decision, a life-changing decision, a life-saving decision. That is the first step. And we give up ownership of our life to God. We become slaves of God. Now, the challenge in front of us is, what do we set out to be? What do we set out to be? So, victory starts here. Victory starts with you. So let's remember what is important in our life is that we are slaves of God.